Today, I want to talk about missions because on Friday, this Friday, at 1:30 p.m., Cheryl and myself and Ross and Shaney and PC Ling fly out from Auckland on our way to Cambodia for 2 weeks. So I want to talk a little bit about that today, why we're going, how it came about, and what that's all about. But before we start, Cheryl, I want to just pray for God's blessing on this word to us.
Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that it's just life to us. And Lord, I pray that right now as Roger shares what's on his heart, Lord, that you will take that and speak to us and just change us, Lord. I pray that you'll broaden our vision today of what you're doing and just challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to start by making a statement today that missions is not something that we do, but that missions is something that we are. Just something to think about. I'll throw that out there and we might come back to it a little later. And as I said that on Friday, there's five of us from Raglan, four from our church here, flying out to Cambodia. Personally, I've never even been to Asia before, so it's going to be a bit of an experience for me. Ross is chuckling over there, and I have to admit I've never really had any great desire to go to Asia either, because I'm one of these people that I just love it here. And one of my little lines is, when you live in the best place in the world, why go anywhere else? I mean, you know, what's that? You agree? Who agrees with that one? We live in such an awesome, blessed place, don't we? But I think that there's sometimes God's calling us to stretch our boundaries a little bit. And I think that's what's happening for me over the next couple of weeks. But what we're primarily going to do is we're going over there to have a look and to learn some stuff. And it's a little bit of a scouting trip. I mean, we've been doing our series on Joshua and they send out their spies. So we've got some spies going out to see what we can do long term. If it's practical and worthwhile to continue to send some of you guys, some other teams in the future. This could be something that's possibly ongoing, but we'll go and see. And I think when it comes to missions, I think we all have a bit of an understanding that missions or outreach or sharing our faith, whatever we term that, is really on the heart of God. Do we understand that? I think we do. I think we've got a sense that that the good news of Jesus is something that's, that really is worth telling other people about. You with me on that? Do you guys all agree that actually we have something in our heart and our life that if we don't share it, we're really being a little bit selfish, aren't we? And we, because it's so good. You know, we have the love of God, like Norris said, in communion, relationship through Jesus. We have eternal life. We have the blessings in this life of having peace in our heart and just so much more. And, and we can prosper in that and flow in that in the love of God. And it's just an amazing thing. We can experience healings. Like, see Mike down there. You're still alive, mate. Isn't that good? And there was a time when it was a bit, and Kathy right now, she's got the hand of God on her. Even in that hospital, and all of us, you know, we can know that that peace of God, and we know that our lives are in God's hand. It doesn't matter what happens, we're going to be okay, one way or another, because we have eternity to look forward to as well. Isn't that good? And we need to be sharing some of this stuff. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus gave us the Great Commission, something that we all probably have heard many times, but it's simply this. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Wasn't that baptism a couple of weeks ago so awesome? You going all right, Timania? Yeah. Still smiling. That's good. Yeah, I'm good. I've warmed up. That was cool. That was really good. But that's what God wants us to do. to go out and tell people the good news and bring them into his love and into his kingdom and see people baptized and blessed. Again in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, another familiar verse. You'll be my witnesses. This was Jesus speaking to his followers, his disciples, his friends. Just before he went back to heaven, he said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, it was started at home and it spreads out and out and out. The good news of Jesus needs to go worldwide. That's what Jesus was saying. And I guess we are pretty much at the ends of the earth. Maybe that was us he was talking about. Thinking of, we might have been in Jesus' mind as he said this. Isn't that awesome to think about that? Matthew 5 verses 14 to 16 says this. You are the light of the world. This was Jesus speaking again. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Christianity is not a secret to keep hidden, is it? Not at all. Clearly, God wants everyone everywhere to know about his Jesus and his love and to have the opportunity to receive that gift of eternal life. And it's just absolutely amazing. And once you experience it and you walk in it and you just can't understand why everybody doesn't want it. And yet some people seem to still not want it. But maybe sometimes it's because we don't present it in quite the best way that we could, and there's things we can learn around that. But ultimately, that's what our mission is, just to share the good news of God's love for us and his care for us and his provision for us. And as a church, I think we've always had a bit of an outward focus, especially here, right here in Raglan, this beautiful place that we live in, that we love and enjoy so much, and we love the people here, and it's just such a privilege to be here. But Norris mentioned some things around the offering time, and some of the things that in the community that we do is youth and junior youth and SSK happening right now, and creche for the little ones, and mainly music during the week, and then Janet's got her flipped program going. It's all about the children, isn't it? It's about the next generation coming through. And as a church, we're really passionate about the next generation, the little ones growing up in our community, that they get the opportunity to hear about Jesus and to know him from a young age. We also run the food bank, and might talk about that a little bit later. And even last week, with our Jubilee service that we helped the school with, I really want to thank everybody that was came along, because that really was Surfside on mission. We had an opportunity. We've been having church here, as I said, for over 20 years now, and this was an opportunity for us as a church to really thank the school, to bless the school, to partner with them, and just to really stand together with something that's so important, and that's the education that happens here. And it was just so cool that we were able to do that. And I just want to thank you guys for helping and serving and being here and just greeting people and getting to know. There's lots of different people that have never been to one of our services before, even though it was different. It was pretty special. It's a church on mission. And I think we need to understand that every day when we wake up, we go on mission, don't we? Every day when we go to work, every day when we relate to our neighbours over the fence, every day when we're at school, and it doesn't matter what we're doing or where we go or what we should, we represent Jesus by the way we speak, by the way we relate to people, by the way that we treat each other, by the way we love our kids, by the way that we just do life. We're on mission. And overseas as well. As a church, we've had a lot of people that have gone out over the years. And I think Trevor and Mary, Trevor's working today. He's not feeling too good. He's and Esther and Rebecca. sort of honour you guys. These guys have been out in India now for, what, Trevor's been gone for about 30 years, hasn't he? 25? Seems a long time. 16 years as a couple. From 89 to just this last year, whatever that is. It's a long time. And, you know, bless you guys and say hi to Trevor. We pray that he gets better, and it's great having you back home. But for a long, long time, you know, these guys were just living and working and being mission on mission in India. And we've also had, we've got Hannah out there now in PNG and Australia doing stuff out there with the health and the ship that she's on. And we've got old Dave and Carrie, Newcastle. He's a Tiakau boy and part of our church here over there, training up young people. We've got Steph and Ben right now out there. We've had Ben Chapman Smith, not here today. He's just come back from Habitat with Humanity. Was he in Fiji building houses? And we hardly even heard about that one, but he's just got back. We had, at one stage, we had Caddy, part of our church here. He went off to Samoa after tsunami and did quite a bit of rebuilding work over there. And we've got Gordy. There he is. Gordy, through his work with Christian Surfers, has spent a lot of time in the Pacific with in Vanuatu and the Solomons. We had the privilege of meeting a pastor from the Solomons at the AOG conference a week or two ago. Great friend of Gordy's. You know, and I think the reason is that we're doing this stuff because we've got a heart to share God's love, haven't we? Wherever we go, whatever we do. And we've sent, over the years, we've sent a couple of teams out. We've sent a team a few years back to Fiji. And we also sent a team to Rwanda after Norris and several of our guys were there. And it was a great experience. So I think to reach out, it's in our DNA as a church. Locally, wherever. Right? You with me on that? I think it's in our DNA. And I think it's in our DNA because we've got Jesus' DNA in us. And I want to say to you guys that along with our vision for you know, we've been going over our 2020 vision, I believe that's because of our outward focus and the fact that our DNA is towards looking out for other people and sharing the good news, I believe that's why the blessing of God is on our church. It's a statement that I think you could discuss at life groups this week. You know, because over the years, our church, we've been through all the ups and downs and challenges that probably most churches go through, and yet we're still here. And we're still moving forward. And actually, we're still quite strong, probably getting stronger. And it's not because of how good we are or any skill or any sort of, you know, anything. It's just the grace of God and the blessing of God on us, because I think we've got the heart of God for people. So just think about that. You know, I think when we really catch God's heart and we start to flow with the things that he's got for us, it's just the blessing of God flows naturally. And, you know, even when we make mistakes and do dumb things and the pastor doesn't always get it right and so on and so forth, you know, God will just keep us going. And he'll get us through the bumps and the ups and the downs. The same in life. You know, if our heart is for others, it doesn't matter what happens, God will keep bringing the blessing. He'll keep bringing the flow. I just want to put that out there today. And I think that's really, really important, that we keep this outward focus. And that's what our 2021 vision that we've spent some time looking at is really all about. We're still here. And we're going to be here for a while yet, as long as we stay aligned to God's heart for people, lost people. And I think we can even confidently say, if we stay aligned to God's heart for others, that we can say the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I believe that. And so why Cambodia? Well, 18 months or so ago, Ross and Shaney said they want to have a catch-up with me and Cheryl. So we had a coffee downtown there, and we were wondering, oh, what's going on? What's this catch-up about? You know, you get a little nervous sometimes. But it was good. They said they've got a stirring in their spirit. They had a stirring in their spirit, and they believed that God was rekindling their passion for missions. Is that right, guys? Something along those lines, eh? It was just a stirring and a rekindling of passion for missions. And overseas mission, particularly. And they wanted to be doing some overseas mission through the church and possibly taking a team somewhere. And have I got it right, Ross? That's sort of what we talked about, pretty much. What? How long ago was it? Oh, a long time. Yeah, I've forgotten how long ago it was, but yeah. And so, so we sort of chatted, and okay, where were you guys thinking? You know, you'd like to go, and we talked about several possibilities. And one of those possibilities, along with several others, was the thought of Cambodia. Now Ross had already been to Cambodia as a young man, so he's familiar with the culture and all what's going on over there. But it was a long time ago. And Shaney also had a heart for some ministry that was going on over there through Sue Hannah, and particularly to some of these young people that they're rescuing and bringing out of the slums and out of the sex trade and all that sort of stuff over there in Cambodia. And so Ross and Shaney had some thoughts around that, but there was options, and we were thinking about it, and we were wondering, you know, what's God going to say here? What's God wanting us to do? So Cheryl and I went home, and we were sort of started to think about it. This wasn't something that was right on our radar at that moment, and we think, well, you know, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? So we started to pray about it. And I got, on Saturday mornings, I got Norris and Roger praying with me, and we started to pray intentionally. What's on God's heart for us as our next mission, as it were? And it was only a few weeks later that I was at a Chamber of Commerce breakfast, and I don't always go to those, but occasionally I do. Norris and I go along a little bit. And this lady was speaking about her new book that she had just written called The Wisdom Seeker, that had just become a New York bestseller. And her name was P.C. Ling. Now, I think most of us have met her, but she told us at that Chamber of Commerce breakfast a little bit about her story growing up in Cambodia, how she escaped from the Khmer Rouge, how most of her family were either killed or imprisoned, and all sorts of stuff happened to them. But she and her mum and her brother, I understand, about the only ones from her family that escaped. They were in a refugee camp for a long time, and then they eventually came to New Zealand as refugees, and they've been living here in Raglan now for quite some time. And at that breakfast, PC had some of her books for sale. So I bought one of her books, and it was really interested in it. I don't normally read much, and I read it in about a day or two. And I was amazed that this lady had been through so much when you read her book and her story, and that there she was living right here in Raglan, and she's been living here for years. I think about 16 years or something. And I hadn't even met her, hadn't even heard about her. And sometimes it's just interesting. Even in a small community, you think you know a lot of what's going on, but sometimes we don't. And I was just blown away by the fact that this lady had been, you know, part of our community for so long. And I know some of you others had met her. I think Shaney knew her, but I'd never ever met her before. And so I talked to PC, and I had a couple of coffees with her, and I talked to her about our church and the possibility of us wanting to do something in Cambodia. And she started to get a little bit excited about the possibilities that we could actually help some of the people back there and build a bit of a relationship. And yes, she was interested in helping us and possibly even coming along with us as our interpreter to show us around, including her home village. And I thought, well, you know, when you think about the book and all the story and all the tragedy and trauma and stuff that's happened over there, I thought this is pretty exciting. And even though she's a Buddhist, she's very open to Christianity. And I actually think she's a really, really special lady, considering what she's been through and how she's come out of that. And yeah, she's doing really well after all the trauma. And considering that she came to New Zealand with absolutely nothing, and man, those people have worked hard. Now they own a lot of properties and all sorts of things, and they're still working hard. And yeah, we could learn a bit from them, I'm sure about that. But many of you heard her speak at Black Sands a few months back, so you know who I'm talking about. When I started to learn PC's story and also started to realize that we have at least three other Cambodian families living here in Raglan, I realized there's a connection. Thanks, Brendan. There's a connection between Raglan and Cambodia already with the families that are here, because there's not that many other Asian people living here at all. Then we contacted Sue Hannah, and the lady that Shaney knew, and she was keen to have us visit with and work alongside Flame Ministries, get to know. And then, and lo and behold, she was coming home to TA. We know her dad really well. He's run at least half a dozen network courses for us. That's old Clive Hannah. Many of you would remember Clive. He's a bit of a champion, still going. And so it was his daughter that's over there. And so we've got a relationship, a friendship through the family already. And she came and spoke at Tiuku. And it seemed like the pieces were coming together for me after praying about it. Maybe God was in this and wanting us, directing us to go towards Cambodia rather than some of the other options that we'd thought about. So, praying about it, Cheryl and I felt that we should go, as well as Ross and Shaney, on an initial scouting trip. And several years ago, we had a pastor that came and helped us here, Brent Douglas, and I remember him saying at the time, he said, as a senior pastor, as senior leaders, you need to be going on mission trips at least every few years, because it helps to give you a bigger perspective on the world, and you don't get quite so tunnel vision about where you are and what you're doing. So that was a challenge. I thought, oh, maybe it's time we did something and went along too. And the other thing is, if we do send teams in the future, just so you guys are knowing, at least we will know a little bit about where you're going and what it's like. We'll also be able to suss out just, you know, if it's reasonably safe or not. Not that missions is ever safe. There's always risks. There's always risks around mission, isn't there? There's a risk if we share our faith with our neighbor that they won't like it. There's a risk if we share God's love. It's a risk if there's risks everywhere we go, especially when we're pushing forward for God, and there'd be no difference over there. Actually, talking to Cambodia PC about Cambodia and how safe it was, she actually said there's some places that she wouldn't take us. She said, believe it or not, but even today there's some Vietnamese guerrilla soldiers operating in the jungles over there, and there's places that she wouldn't take us because it's simply not safe to go. So, you know, you just don't know. But the main thing, before we send a team, we really want to make sure that we're being helpful and effective. And our missions, I understand it's always good for us that go, but sometimes, you know, we need to make sure it's good for the people that we're going to as well, and that we really are doing something practical and useful. We can think we are, but sometimes we don't always know. And so we want to really make sure that what we're doing is building in and helping and really building into the church over there as well. And then there was speaking about the church, there's one more piece of the puzzle around Cambodia, was meeting at Life Conference back in May, I think it was. We met a pastor there called Jesse McCall. He's the pastor of a New Life Fellowship. He's an American guy who's married to a Cambodian lady, and he's been living there for about 16 years. And we talked to him. We're going to try and go to his church on the first Sunday that we're there. We're planning to have lunch with him on Thursday the 10th, this guy. And we've got a little bit of a video about him and his church. And then the last Sunday that we're there, we're going to be down at the coast. And we're going to try and see, I think he's planting a lot of churches. We'll see if we can link in with something down there as well. So that just gives you a little bit of an overview of what we're doing. The first few days, we're going to be with Flame Ministries. That's Sue Hannah and her team. And they're really well set up for looking after us. So we've got a PowerPoint there we'll just quickly put up. This is Sue talked about this when she was at Tiuku a few months back. This is their vision. They start with these slum kids, and then they inspire them into education. They get them learning basic stuff. Then they encourage them to actually think about other people, and they train them to become confident leaders, and then they, in turn, start to help the other slum kids. And so it's that circle. And they've got an awesome vision. They're doing a great work there. And because she's just a Te Amuru girl, I think it'll be easy for us to relate and work with them. Now, the other one, we've got a little video that we'll show on Jesse's church, and just so give you a little bit of a picture of some of the people we're connecting up with and what we'll be doing. Not sure how much time we'll be spending with these guys. It just gives you a little bit of insight into where we're going. And we're linking up with two main ministries, that's Flame and this pastor and their work as well. And who knows what divine encounters we will have along the way as you guys pray for us. That's the main reason I wanted to talk about this today. First of all, to inform you guys about what we're doing, but also so that you can be praying as we go. That it'll be a meaningful trip, and that possibly could become an ongoing relationship for us as a church. We'll just see how God leads in that. As I was thinking about our trip to Cambodia and all the pieces that have come together so far, I was actually reminded of our journey with the food bank and how we got started with that. And really, it was Ross and Shaney's, passion and the rekindling of something in their spirits that have got us started on this. But with the food bank, I remember it was we had a couple of ladies in the church that, after doing a network course, actually with Sue's dad, that felt that they had a passion to feed the poor here in Raglan. And I remember at the time thinking, well, how on earth are we going to do this? Is this really what God wants us to be doing? And the very next day, the Salvation Army from Hamilton rang our church office. We were barely even in the phone book. I don't know how they found us. And they rang up and said, have you guys ever thought about starting a food bank in Raglan? Because there's a need out here. And I thought, okay, maybe God is speaking here. A little bit like this Cambodia thing, the way the things have come together. Maybe God is speaking here and leading us on a path. And Marie and several others, several of you that were here back in those days, started the food bank virtually from nothing. And it's been going ever since, meeting the needs of people in this community. But more than that, at the AGM the other night, I was talking a little bit about the property that God has blessed us with as a church that potentially will be something that we can build a church on, a church center, or use as assets to buy something else, if that's the way God leads us. But, back when before we started the food bank, we actually, as a church, had very little financially. We almost, well, I think we might have had about $20,000 in the bank. We owned a photocopier and a guitar or something, and that was about it. And the other night we were looking at all the different assets and properties that God has entrusted to us and blessed us with, and we realized it totals up into millions of dollars almost now. And it's only in a space of about 15 or 20 years. But that all began actually because we were running the food bank on the property of a man who we didn't even know who he was, and he was watching from the sideline. And when it came time for us to move on from his property, he came and he rang me up and he said, "Roger, I've been so impressed with what your team have been doing as a running a food bank and doing this for our community. I want to help you guys to buy a property of your own." And he offered us an interest-free loan, which actually he's never ever been to our church. But you see, that's what God does. When we start to step out and we start to just to think about other people and we follow the leading of the Spirit, and just do whatever God calls us to do in terms of other people and looking outwards and helping the poor and helping the needy and helping people, whether, you know, our next-door neighbours, our kids, their friends, and whether it's in Cambodia or Raglan or wherever it might be. As soon as we start looking outwards, you know, the heart of God is right there with us and the blessing of God starts to flow. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm just beginning to wonder if that actually there could be a lot more in this trip that we're about to go on than what we realize, with connections, with relationships, with things in the future, for us as a church back here as well. So I just put that out there. That's been, as I started to think about it, I thought, hey, this is a little bit similar to what we've done before with the food bank, and just how God has blessed us as a church as we stepped out and being obedient to what he asked us to do. So who knows what might come out of this trip, and we shall see, and hopefully in a couple, 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be back to give you a good report. So please pray for us as we go. And remember, mission is not so much what we do, it's who we are. It's the heart, it's the love, it's the spirit that we carry, because, hey, you know, God loves everyone and he wants that good news of Jesus out there, doesn't he? And it's our responsibility. And whether you guys are going or not, you're on mission with us. And you're on mission here, and this is just as important as Cambodia or anywhere else. Wherever people are, we need to be on mission. Bless you guys. That's just a few thoughts around our trip that's coming up.